$4.99, tape $5.99. Mel Brooks with Dennis Elsis here at WNEW FM. And now, a live commercial done by Mr. Brooks himself. The Bottom Line welcomes you now through Thursday to witness the joy of Charles Erland and Dave Matthews Big Band on March 31 and April 1, the Good Rats and Barry Diamond. On April 2, Carla Bley and Rio Kasawaki. April 6 through 8, Loudon Wainwright, the Third and Slow Train. On April 11th and 12th, Crystal Gale. April 14th and 15th, Andrew Gold and Katie Moffat. On the 16th of April, Robin Williamson and his merry band. Shows 8:30 and 11:30. Doors open at 6:30 for dinner. Wear a tie and call 228-7880 for info.
All right.
Rolling your way.
Yes. All right. Have you ever considered a career on this side?
The pay is too low.
Thank you. <Yes.
laughs> Not enough bread for the big Jew in Hollywood.
Moving right along. 12 Chairs.
12 Chairs was a great experience. I filmed the 12 Chairs in the country of Yugoslavia for 8 months. It is a picture I'm very proud of. I wrote a song called Hope for the Best, Expect the Worst. One of the lyrics is Hope for the Best, Expect the Worst. You Could Be Tolstoy or Fanny Hurst. I'm very proud of that song.
Which is on the album.
Yes, it's on the flip side of the Great High Anxiety album. It was quite an experience. It was very rugged to live for 9 months in Yugoslavia. When we were free at night, there was very little to do. Tito had the car. We just lined up along the road for a hitch. Belgrade, the capital city of Yugo, is lit with a 10-watt bulb. Very hard to find your way around at night. But the people are glorious. They are joyous. They are wondrous people. Very strong, very brave, very proud. And it was a terrific experience. I'm very proud of that. After the 12 Chairs, I did the movie that was the bombshell movie for me. I mean, it made me a popular artist for America, and that was Blazing Saddles. That movie was seen by almost everybody in the United States. It has done to date close to $50 million in rentals, meaning $100 million, you know, in box office. It is an incredible hit, and every time they bring it out, it does well. And I wrote a couple of songs for that one, too, which are on the High Anxiety Greatest Hits, Mel Brooks, Johnny Marr's album, which can be purchased. What's the price? Somebody out there tell me.
What? $7.98.
$7.98.
But they can get a discount if they go to the
$7.98. But if they call Murray, they'll be 4 cents off just for the call. But I must tell you, I'm very proud of Blazing Saddles. I wrote the title tune, Blazing Saddles, with John Morris. He did the music. I did the lyric. We wanted Frankie Lane to sing it. Frankie Lane believed in it earnestly, and so we were very happy to get an earnest performance. Some of the... You know, in Blazing Saddles, we also did that wonderful little French mistake. But I think the hit of the album is Madeleine Kahn singing I'm Tired. But every time Frankie Lane sings the beginning of Blaze, I could cry because I said, yes, Brooks and family will eat. Think, yes, going out late at night, I'll have the check waiter here, over here. Give it to the short Jewish person. I mean, that was the difference between having to work for a living and relaxing a little bit. Blazing Saddles. Warner Brothers.
was then the goddess of desire, set men on fire. I have this power. Morning, noon, and night, it's wink and dancing, some quick romancing, and then a shower. Stage door Johnny's constantly surround me. They always hound me with one request. Who can satisfy their lustful habits? I'm not a rabbit. I need some rest. I'm tired, sick and tired of love. I've had my fill of love from below and above. Let's face it, I'm tired. Everything below the waist is kaput.
Madeline Kahn. Madeline Kahn is phenomenal. She has a rich mind, and she's a very, very gifted girl. This is Mel Brooks talking and popping about Madeline Kahn. I like Madeline Kahn. I like her very much. She's a pleasure to work with. She is what we call in the film business a self-starter. We directors of films like actors like Harvey Korman and Madeline to come on the set prepared. Madeline is extraordinary. I mean, she knows every line. She knows how to read it. I give her very, this is the truth, I swear to God, very little direction. She has it. She's smart. She's good. And the only problem in working with Madeline Kahn is that I break up. I laugh. I have to stop the take. It's over. Brooks, you're the stalker. You mustn't laugh. Brooks, stop. Brooks, you're the one. Once I cleared the set, in Young Frankenstein, I cleared the entire set. Everybody was laughing. I said, look, we are adults. This is professional. This is $25,000 a day. Will you, Gentiles, please control yourself? Stick towels and handkerchiefs in your mouths. So they did. They all stuck. You could see a lot of crew. It's very funny to see it. 50 people with towels sticking in their mouths. So we do the scene. Madeline arrives at the big castle in Young Frankenstein. Marty Feldman greets her. He says, Gene Wilder says to Marty Feldman, give me a hand with the bags. Marty says, okay, you take the one in the wig, I'll take the blonde in the turban. We all went. We went. I mean, there was no way of filming that. You know what happened? I had to leave like a slave camera, you know, and a cameraman, and that was it. And we all left the set. We came back and I saw it in the dailies. There was no way of not laughing. That's how much, that you know, the scene broke me up. Madeline is terrific. Johnny Morris, by the way, speaking of Young Frankenstein, Johnny Morris wrote two things that are just should live forever. One is the theme, Vorobyanov's theme in Young Frankenstein, and the other is the magical, mystical, coalescing the vapor of Transylvania beautifully in Young Frankenstein. By the way, if you would play that for the audience, I will tell you that there is a violin obbligato played against the main melody by Gerald Vinci, V-I-N-C-I, and it's extraordinary. I mean, we've gotten letters on how beautiful. It's a passionate, crazy gypsy violin. Underneath the violin obbligato is written by Jonathan Tunick, who arranged it, something in Italian that I didn't understand. It was Senza Vergogna, Senza, S-E-N-S-A-V-E-R-G-O-N-A, Senza Vergogna. I said, what is this? I've seen Andante and all those, you know, and all the swift Italian words, but I've never seen Senza Vergogna. What does it mean? And Jonathan said, without shame, shamelessly. I mean, and that's the way Jerry Vinci plays it. And it's one of the most beautiful melodies ever written for any movie, and I'm very proud of Johnny, and I'm very proud of the melody, and I'm very proud of Young Frankenstein, which is a very large black and white hit.
You, when you throw yourself into a film, not just the production of the film, but also the advertising behind the film, I mean, you get totally involved.
You mean that as a metaphor? I mean, I really don't throw my body.
No.
I mean, I hurl my talents into
but
the
when
film.
You get
once
it,
in a while, I throw my body. If there's a tall girl, I will try to throw my body into the film.
I mean, it's not enough for you just to do the movie. You're going to do the commercials.
Everything. Everything. You know about the commercials? I did the commercials for Young Frankenstein.
Not only do I know about them, take a listen.
Miss breakfast, but don't miss Young Frankenstein. Miss lunch, but don't miss Young Frankenstein. Miss America, Miss Amalted, Miss Anthrope, but don't miss Young Frankenstein. Directed by Mel Blazing Saddles Brooks. I love him. From 20th Century Fox, rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. Sometimes you need those quickies at the end. Hello, I'm Mel Brooks. Hi, I'm Morris Fishbein. Hi, Mel. Hi, Morris. I'd like to tell you about Young Frankenstein, a new feature we've completed here at 20th Century Fox. It'll scare the daylights. Hi, you thought I was going to say shit. Young Frankenstein. I saw it. I loved it. I made it. Young Frankenstein in black and white. No offense. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. Hi, I'm Mel Brooks, and I'd like to talk to you about a feature that I've just completed entitled Young Frankenstein. It'll be rolling your way about Christmas and somewhere in the boondocks, I guess about June. Young Frankenstein is the funniest movie ever made, but you didn't hear it from me. Young Frankenstein in black and white. Wow. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. See it with raisinettes.
Why raisinettes? I was so happy to get you here to find out why raisinettes.
I'm addicted to raisinettes.
Really?
When I saw cowboy pictures, they looked like beans, but they didn't make the same kind of visceral explosion that beans are wont to make.
Mm-hmm.
But I love a little raisinette. It's cute. It's chocolate on the outside and a little nourishment in the middle, a raisin, which gives you iron. Especially if you're a 47-year-old Jewish lady. Now, listen, Harvey Korman in Blazing Saddles runs in and ad-libs raisinettes before he sits down. I mean, they've been a very big part of my life. I do like raisinettes because they're broken into components. There are many components in a box of raisinettes. There may be 101. You can eat one, you can eat 100. It's up to you. So you're on your own when you're eating raisinettes.
Did you do those? Are those scripted, those spots, or was a lot of that ad-lib?
There were ideas, and a lot of it was ad-lib. And I thought it was, they were put together beautifully by the guys at Fox.
A wonderful campaign for Young Frankenstein.
Getting back to Johnny Morris, can I hear the Young Frankenstein theme, please, Dennis?
Thank you.
What a dramatic airport.
You remember that.
In the opening of the film, when the theme plays, you encounter, as you're getting off the plane, various episodes, and the theme is building up under with all the intensity, and the final line of that sequence is, what a dramatic airport. But
do you know that the guy who lures me into the toilet...
Not personally.
I think he... No. You know. I know you don't know the guy. I mean, they're a Jewish boy. But, I mean, his name is Bob Ridgely, and he is the same man. I like to use the same people. The man that I think is an FBI man or a CIA man, and he takes me into the toilet and says, we're all doing it. Don't be gauche. You know? That is the same guy who is in Blazing Saddles. He is the man who cuts... What do you call a guy in the Tower of London who cuts people's heads off?
Executioner.
Yes, he is the executioner. Yeah, very good, very good. Who's going to... The man in the wheelchair, remember... I'm sorry, sir, I haven't been out with the flu, it's a tough, you know, that's the same guy, I mean, he's fabulous.
The music for you, and I think this is important, because we were talking while the music was playing, and I was watching you enjoy it again, which is terrific. Music is very important to you. The movies are funny, but the music is no joke, politely, to put it that way.
You're not a dummy, Dennis, you're not a dummy. That was astute of you, and acute of you. You look like a young Dane Clark. For people of my generation who remember Dane Clark, Dennis Elsis looks like a young Dane Clark. Whether or not he ever ends up in the movies is up to the brightness of movie producers. But anyway, the movie is a very serious thing to me. The camera work is very serious. The lighting is very serious. All the externals that contain the film are very important to me. So the music is critical, because the music is the kind of the emotional glue, that the mortar that holds the movie together. It's very important to have somebody that's genuinely talented like John Morris.
You've said that the music of Bernard Herrmann, who wrote so many great pieces for Hitchcock movies and on Citizen Kane and all
the
different kinds
of things. He was a genius. He was really very talented I took everything that he ever wrote, especially the music to Psycho and Vertigo, and put that on tape, and played that in my car while I was writing the film. So for 4 months, I heard nothing but Bernard Herrmann's scary Psycho music. It was fabulous, you know, and it really helped me see images and create all kinds of spooky, you know. High anxiety is a little scary. A little scary, as well as,
How did you create that? It sounds like a theremin or something. There's a very scary sound within that. How did you create that?
That's a Moog synthesizer, you know, and it's a wonderful device for getting a kind of supernatural, electronic, you know, subcutaneous feeling of fear. It's terrific, and we used a lot of it in the film. That was John Morris's... discovery. I mean, he decided that would be the perfect anti-personal, anti-human device, and it would characterize what they were doing at the Psychoneurotic Institute for the very, very nervous.
We're talking with Mel Brooks at 102.7. This is Dennis Elsis at WNEW-FM in New York, and we're talking with Mel Brooks. And the movies, that's been since 1968.
Did you ask me if Harvey Korman was really sexually perverted and that in the movie he wanted to be beaten by Cloris Leachman? Was that the question? I can't answer that on the air. But I will tell you that Harvey is very freaky and very, and it was very close to home base, and that's why his performance is so good. By the way, Dennis Elsis, let me tell you something. Cloris Leachman did her own makeup. I cannot be responsible for her makeup. That little hunch, the boobs, the whole thing. You know, she did everything herself. The little mustache.
The wonderful Nurse Diesel.
Yes, the Germanic concept. I mean, she's incredible.
She's a great actress.
I love that lady. I mean, she is like Madeline, a self-starter. It was a pleasure to do that movie. It was fun. I mean, I really couldn't wait to get up and go to work and do that every day.
You've said in an interview that that one of your great thrills is actually being in a theater while the film is on, going to the front and walking back and watching people laugh at a joke as it explodes off the screen. Will you be sneaking over to the Sutton Theater over the next
few
days?
Yeah, my kids, I have some big children who are wonderful, Steffi and Nikki and Eddie, and they're very nice children. They're a little ashamed of me because I do go to the movie, and I leave them and I walk down to the front, and I turn around and I watch the faces of the people enjoying my movie or hating it, whatever. I mean, most of the time. And every once in a while, I get a big kick, like in High Anxiety. In one place, I wanted a rather large woman left her chair and rolled down the aisle. You know, she was uncontrollable. And I made a big fuss about that. I drew attention to it. You know, my kids were very embarrassed by it. But I do love to sit in the first seat on the aisle in the first row, turn around, and calmly look at the faces. Even if they're not screaming all the time, it's just they're smiling. And that is the real paycheck of doing a comedy, a film comedy. It's a thrill. And you can catch me at the Sutton Theater here in New York. You can just look at the little gnome in the first row turned around watching your faces. That's me. It's not Paul Williams. It's me.
Before the movies, all right? Before the movies, people knew Mel Brooks perhaps first as a writer for Sid Caesar, your show of shows. Would that be the first place that...
I worked in the mountains in the Borscht Belt, you know, and I played drums and I sang, and then I got into comedy. The comic got sick, and he used to do stuff like, "Good evening, ladies and germs. I just flew from Chicago, and boy, my arm's tired. I met a girl in Chicago who was so skinny, the waiter said, when I took her to a restaurant, check your umbrella. I got a room in Chicago that was so small, you closed the door, and I've got into bed with you." I mean, the room was small. The mice were hunchback. Let's face it, ladies. And I knew that, and I hated it. I didn't want to do those jokes.